Well, right now we're in a series called Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the God-Man. And so last week we looked at Jesus exclusively. First time I've ever given a message where I exclusively looked at Jesus Christ, what His name meant, and then what He was really like. And we saw it last week, and I loved it. I had a great time talking about Jesus. Today we're going to talk about Him some more. Today we're going to look at Jesus, say it with me, Son of God. Next week, Son of Man, and on Christmas Eve, the God-Man. And so that's our plan. But right now, we're going to go to the message this morning. And if you're with us today for the first time, I use the big screen up here. I have Roger the Dodger, my tech guy, right down front here. And we got the sound crew up here, and we just try to go with it. Amen? And so everything's up on the screen. If you've got a Bible, that's wonderful. You can try to follow along with us. Sometimes we go pretty quick, so that's why we do the screen. But certainly, it's great to have your Bible as well. Let's keep looking this morning. This morning, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. My goal today is to talk with you about Him being born of a virgin. Okay? And if you can do that, I guess we'll worship you too. But it ain't happening. Okay? He's born of a virgin. And we're going to look at it today. And then I'm going to call some witnesses this morning right from the Bible who said He was the Son of God. Just in case you don't believe this poor, pitiful preacher this morning, that's the way we're going to lay it out. That's our plan. Jesus Christ is like no other. Could you say that with me? Jesus Christ is like no other. Let's keep looking. What do I mean? Well, first of all, prophecies foretold of His coming. See, that makes Him a little different than you and me, right? I mean, I know Grandma was glad you came and everything, and you know, they all celebrated, and they came to see you at the hospital, and you got little presents, but no great prophets told of your coming. They did of Jesus. Just a few of them this morning, not too many. Pop it up. Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold," it was a tough prophecy too, "a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Another prophecy, Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon His shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Micah 5:2 even prophesied where He would be born hundreds of years prior to His birth. "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you be little among the thousands of Judah," I've been to Bethlehem many times, and it's just a stop in the road, I'm telling you. You think, I mean, they don't even have good Christmas lights in Bethlehem. But anyway, come on. I'm telling you, just a little place. That's where you'll be born, among the thousands of Judah. "Yet out of you shall He come forth unto me," that is to be ruler in Israel, "whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." So He's like no other. Prophecies foretold Him. Something else. Angels announced Him. I mean, best you and I got was somebody sent out a little card about us. Amen? We didn't have no angels doing it. You know? But that's the way it was for Jesus. Because He is the Son of God. It's God's plan, and we're going to show you that today. Angels announced Jesus Christ. This isn't some little fairy tale some freak made up somewhere. This is the real deal. This is the Bible. This is the key to my faith. My Savior coming and living and dying on the cross. Angels announced Him. Luke 1:30, 31. "The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and you shall bring forth a son, and you'll call Him" what? Say it with me. Jesus. That's what we're going to call Him, Mary. Okay? Luke 2. Angels announcing, speaking, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Amen? I mean, Jesus is like no other. Okay? That's just a couple of things. Let's take it a step further. Jesus Christ's birth was like no other. I'd say so. Amen? Say. His birth was like no other. Let's look at a little review here. How did people get on planet Earth? Well, let's look. Different ways men, women came to be. Adam was created by God from dust. God breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He was created by God without a father or mother. Eve was created by God using what? The rib from Adam. So she came a little different, didn't she? But from then on, all the rest of us, you got Cain, Abel, and everybody and their brother and sister that came about through natural human reproduction after that. Then there is this fourth group, how people came to be. It's still group three, but it takes a little extra help from God. And that is, in some cases, like Abraham and Sarah and Zacharias and Elizabeth, God used miraculous generation to bring alive the barren and elderly for reproduction. All right, that's how Isaac came. That's how John the Baptist came. Remember, say, y'all with me? But keep looking. But Jesus was born of a virgin. Are you hearing me? It's a little different. And by the way, it's a little difficult. All right? That's the way it happened. Let's take it a step further. It was totally unique, to say the least, okay? Come on. It was totally unique. Luke 1, 34 and 35. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Plain English. I hadn't had sexual relations with anybody. Period. Hadn't done that. What you talking about? How's that going to happen? She was a teenage girl. She was highly favored of God. She loved God. She was a virgin. I haven't done anything like that. What are you talking about? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Mary, don't worry, we got it covered. All right? We got it covered. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. The power of the highest is going to overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee, say it with me, shall be called the Son of God. That's how Jesus came. Through the Virgin Mary. Mary was highly favored, but Mary's not to be prayed to. We have one mediator and one man. What's his name? The man Christ Jesus. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father, the Bible says, and he makes intercession for us. Somebody came along with the idea that you pray to Mary. I don't say that to hurt your feelings, but if we're going to be honest and tell you the truth, that's the truth. You pray to Jesus. Mary realized her own sinfulness. She realized her own weaknesses. She prayed to God. Do you understand? We pray to Jesus. Does that mean we trash Mary? No, that's horrible. And a lot of churches do. You don't pray to Mary. And they end up trash. That's crazy. She's to be highly favored. She's that one that was chosen to bring into this world our Savior. But we can sometimes miss the mark and do something we shouldn't do. You shouldn't pray to Mary. You should pray in Jesus' name. Say that with me. You should pray in Jesus. One more time so you'll get it. You should pray in Jesus' name. Last time I checked, he's the only one that died on the cross, rose from the grave, so you and I could be saved. God had one son. That was his name, Jesus. And that's who we pray to. All right? But he was born of a virgin. It was totally necessary for him to be born of a virgin. I'm going to try to talk a little bit about this for a few minutes and see if I can make sense of it. Why was it necessary? Well, it was necessary because Jesus didn't start existing in Bethlehem. Jesus has always been. He is God. We believe, and the Bible clearly teaches, that God, we believe in one God in three persons. And that is hard for this head to understand. But that's what the Bible teaches. And that's the way the Bible presents God. And you see God often like that. But Jesus is God, and he existed with God in the beginning. And so something was necessary to get him to planet Earth to save his people from their sins. That's what his name means, God saves. Jesus means God saves. So something had to happen. But Jesus is God. He's always existed. He always will. Keep looking. A couple of passages of Scripture. In the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him who, the Word, Jesus, who was with God. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Written by the Apostle John. Also another passage written by John, a parallel passage in 1 John. that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, our hands have handled him, we've touched him, the word of life, that's Jesus. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, we bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us in the person of Jesus Christ. So Jesus has always been, but he had to come. That was God's plan, and this was the means that God used. Of course God could have come as a spirit. Okay? God can do anything because God is God, right? But he came to die for the sins of man, and so he took upon him human flesh and died as a human for our sins. It's hard to understand. I agree with that. But it's difficult to comprehend. Jesus is God, and God is spirit, and spirit cannot die. So he needed a what? Body. Are y'all with me so far? Have I lost you in la-la land? So he needed a body so that he could die, because spirit does not die. God is spirit, the Bible says, John 4:24, and they that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. So that's why Jesus was born of a virgin. Keep looking. He's the Son of God. Jesus was born into the world. He was not from it. He was born into this world. It was a choice that he made to come here, to be born like he was born, to take upon him flesh, to die on the cross. He came to this world. He was not from it. Why was the virgin birth necessary? Keep looking. Because Jesus needed a human body to fulfill his mission. What was his name? Jesus. God saves. He will save his people from their what? Sins. Jesus, his name is his mission statement. We said that last week. That he needed a human body. He needed to be among people. That was his favorite name. We're going to talk about it next week. Son of Man. He loved that name. He loved the decision that he made to be called Son of Man. Can you imagine God? He was cool with that. He was like, call me Son of Man. Because he loved you that much. He loved me that much. That's why the virgin birth was necessary. She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin will be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And that was the plan of God, and this is how it had to happen. And it was God's plan. And last time I checked, it worked. Amen? Instead of arguing with the plan, I don't believe that. Well, let you try your plan then. That's a pretty good plan. Amen. It worked. It worked. You know, when you look at Jesus, his life is like bookends. You got the virgin birth, miraculous Son of God. And you got his resurrection, miraculous Son of God. It's a brilliant plan. It worked. Amen. And that's what it takes to save you. That's why we're playing Mickey Mouse games when we try to get to heaven our own way. We come up with the dumbest plans. I'll just be really good and that'll get me to heaven. That won't get you across the street. How many made a mistake or did something wrong this past week? We need his plan, amen? His plan, the bookends, the Son of God, birth, resurrection, virgin birth, resurrection. Boy, that's pretty powerful. Till you can pull off those two, I wouldn't try your plan. Amen? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's his plan for us. That's why the virgin birth was necessary. Because only through the virgin birth could God become a man and retain his holiness and perfection. It had to take a virgin, not a daddy, not a sinner, not a sinner. God was the Father. The Holy Spirit planted that seed inside of Mary's womb. And that holy thing that's inside of you, the Bible says, he's going to be the Son of God. You see what I'm saying? What did Mary do? Mary provided the location. Amen? God did it all. That's the plan. He was the God-man. That's who he is. Keep looking. Jesus was divinely conceived and born, but he was also a human in every sense of the word. He was divinely conceived, but he was a human in every sense of the word. And that's what he wanted to be and needed to be. I love this passage. I quote it often and read it. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I want to park it on verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. If you just read over that, most of us, if we're honest, we don't know what that means. What does that mean? Well, you look in the language, the Greek text, it says, he thought it not something to be grasped at. And we still don't know what that means. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God? He thought it not something to be grasped at. Here's the point. Are you all right, sir? Amen. We love you. Amen. Come on. I needed some humor. Listen, what does that mean? Here's what I think it means, and I know it means probably several things. But you know what? Jesus was with God in the very beginning. And this was the plan. Jesus, you will be born of a virgin. You will become a man to save people from their sins. Now listen to me. And you know what? Jesus was willing to do that. He was willing to let go. He's not going to grasp at that. He's not going to argue with that. He is willing to do that for you. Are you hearing me? You think it was a lot nicer where he was than coming down here and being born in a nasty, dirty, stinking cow stall and people hating his guts and trying to kill him as soon as he was born, and then his whole life living in obscurity in a little town called Nazareth, and then when your ministry starts, when you go back to hometown and start preaching, they try to throw you off a cliff. But guess what? He was cool with that. And he and God, he dealt with it. Okay? And he came here for you and me. Keep looking. The verse tells us, verse 7, so he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. That's what we're talking about today. And he was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he then humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess, say it with me, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now I know that might have confused some of you this morning, but why the virgin birth? That's why. Several things this morning on why Jesus had to be born of a virgin. And sometimes we can see him born and have a body of flesh, and sometimes we can think he's not the Son of God. He is not God. Matter of fact, whole cults start up teaching, oh no, he's not God. Yeah, he is. Just because your head can't get it, my head can't get it sometimes, that doesn't take anything away from the fact that he's the Son of God. And I'd like to call some witnesses to the platform this morning. Let's look at it. Is Jesus the Son of God? I'm going to call some. Maybe you won't believe me. By the time I get done, I got them all stripes, sizes, colors, everything this morning. Let's look at them. Here we go. Is Jesus Christ the Son of God? Well, first one you got to argue with is Jesus. Jesus said he was. Okay? He either is the Son of God or he's a liar. Is that plain English say? Okay? Jesus said he was the Son of God. Look at it. In John 9, there was a man that was born blind from birth. He was sitting there blind. The disciple says, why is that man blind? Jesus said that the glory of God may be revealed in this man. And so Jesus healed him. Well, it sure caused a ruckus. That blind man been there a long time. He got healed. And so the Pharisees called him, asked him all these kind of questions. He said, Jesus did it. Boy, that wasn't what they wanted to hear, because they hated Jesus. Verse 24, these Pharisees call this blind man again. And they say, give God the praise, because we know this man, Jesus, is a sinner. He said this. I like this guy. He talks about like I do. He said, you know what? Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, I was blind and I see, Jack. You hearing me? I sound like something I'd say, baby. If I was blind, I could see. That's what you can argue all day long. I'm going somewhere. I can see, baby. All right? But guess what? They didn't let it go. Then said they to him again, what did he to you? How did he open your eyes? And they're putting pressure, trying to get him to change his story. He answered and said, I told you already, and you didn't hear. Then he really got them ticked off. He said, wherefore would you hear it again, and will you also be his disciples? Oh, that was horrible. They couldn't handle that. Then they reviled him and said, you're his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. Keep looking. Then the blind man says, listen, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and you're trying to teach us? And they cast him out. Did you know, didn't you catch that? They didn't think they were sinners, did they? Say, be careful when you don't think you're a sinner and think you have a relationship with God. All have sinned. And then that's Jesus came to save who? And if you ain't one, I guess you ain't blind. Be careful thinking that way. Here's what Jesus said. So they cast this guy out, and Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Jesus talking. He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Say it with me. Thou hast both seen him, and it's he that talks with you. Amen? And he said, Lord, I believe. And he what? Worshipped him. Verse 39, a warning for us all. Jesus said, For judgment I'm coming to this world, that they which see not might see, and they that which see might be made blind. If you're listening to me today on here or television, right, listen. If you think you don't need a Savior, if you think you see, be careful. Jesus comes to save blind people. Are you hearing me? Did you catch that right there? He'll let you stay in your sins if you want to and think you've got it all worked out. Your plan, yeah. He'll let you stay there if you want to. Best thing you can do is acknowledge you're a sinner. Amen? Best thing you can do is say, I'm blind. I want to see. And Jesus will come. He'll come into your heart. He'll come in with the message of the gospel. He'll save your soul today. He will do that. So Jesus said he was the Son of God. Let's look at another one real fast. Here they're arguing with him again, the Pharisees. And Jesus says to them, Say ye of him, of himself, whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into this world, Thou blasphemest. You're saying this about me because I say I'm the Son of God. You call me a blasphemer. If I do not the works of my Father, don't believe me. That's what he said. He said, if I don't do the works of God, then just don't believe me. It's okay. But he cared for them, even though they were obnoxious and full of themselves. He said, but if I do the works of my Father, though you believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father's in me and I'm in him. Did they like that talk, say? Verse 39, when he said that, here he's trying to reach out to him. They sought to kill him. They sought to take him, but he escaped from their hand. Why? Because he's the Son of God. So Jesus said he was the Son of God. We could go on and on, but I got to call some more witnesses. I thought I'd get the devil here today. Maybe you believe the devil if you don't believe Jesus. I mean, your choices. I mean, here you go. The devil. Here's what the devil said. When the tempter came to him and said, If thou be the Son of God. Listen, the devil never doubted he was the Son of God. He was trying to make Jesus doubt he was the Son of God. If thou be. He knew he was the Son of God. He said, Then command these stones to be turned into bread. Keep looking. And he says unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it's written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it's written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now watch it. He's the Son of God. Guess what? The devil leaves, and angels came and ministered to him. Sounds like the Son of God to me, doesn't it? You say, when you can tell the devil to leave, and he leaves, and the angels come and start ministering to you. Jesus, the Son of God. The devil knew he was the Son of God. Jesus had authority over him. Keep looking. Who else believed? The demons said he was the Son of God. See, you might be here today and you might think, well, I don't believe that Son of God stuff. That's just that religious pie in the sky by and by stuff. I mean, we're letting the Church of Satan tell you this morning. Okay? Satan himself. Demons believe. Maybe you believe them. Matthew 8:29. Behold, they, the demons, cried out saying, What have we to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of God? Are you come here to torment us before our time? They knew who he was. Amen, say. Did they know or not? And they know their doom. It's funny, demons don't have a problem believing in hell. It's just liberal churches in America. Demons don't have a problem. Well, I don't like that hell stuff. My own sister told me that when I was home. I don't like that hell, fire, and brimstone. Well, you won't like me, ma'am. I mean, I don't harp on it. We don't harp on it. We don't get any joy out of people going to hell. But you can't wish things away by just not talking about them. That's stupidity. The demons know where they're going. They believe in the Son of God. Look at this. The devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus rebuked them. He didn't want to hear it from their mouth. He wants to hear that from His people. Are you hearing me say? He didn't want to hear that from them. That's why, let me tell you something, friend. If the demons can call Him the Son of God, if the demons can call Him the Christ, if the demons can talk like that, why can't His church people talk like that? You know? So the demons know who He are. For they knew that He was what? Christ. Is Jesus the Son of God? Is He just a good man? Well, He can't be a good man because He claimed to be the Son of God. He'd be a liar. He's either who He is or He's not. Who is He with you today? Keep looking. Who else can we call? This guy's probably a pretty good witness. If Matlock or somebody like get him to show up, he'd probably win the case, you know? Or Law and Order, all right? The angel Gabriel said He was the Son of God. Luke 1:35, the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called," say it with me again, "the Son of," that's who Jesus is, Son of God. Let's try another one. How about the disciples? Here are ragtag fishermen along the shores of Galilee. Jesus says, "Come, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." They lived with Him, they walked with Him, they slept there where He slept. They went everywhere He went. You couldn't get better witnesses than the people that lived right with Him for 3 years. Is that right? What'd they say? Just one incident that happened. Matthew 14. Jesus walked to him on water. And He said to Peter, "Come." And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, Peter was afraid and beginning to sink. He said, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand. He caught him and He said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore did you doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Now watch it. The disciples. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, say it with me, "Of a truth, Thou art." What would you say if somebody walked on water? What would you say if the wind was blowing real bad and he just said, "Peace, be still," and they stopped? What would you say? "Hi, dude." Or would you hit the deck? "Surely it's supposed to be the Son of God. Get down." You know what I mean? It's what I'd do. So how about his disciples? How about a guy like this? A Roman centurion who was basically part of the hired team here to crucify Jesus. Not a guy who's a follower. Not a guy who loves Jesus. A guy who's just there. He's just there. Isn't that a good witness? Find somebody that was what? There. What'd you see? What'd you say? Here he is. The Roman centurion that was there and part of the crucifixion. Matthew 27:54. "Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake," they saw the things that were done, "they feared greatly," say it with me, "saying, truly, this was the Son of God." Who is Jesus? He's Son of God. And what you think ain't going to change it, you ought to get with the program. You ought to admit, "I'm blind. I want to see." Not, "I can see. I don't need nothing you say." I don't want to be on that side of the fence. Amen? Because He'll leave you there. Who else? And I'm done this morning. Peter said he was the Son of God. Now I want you to listen. Peter said he was the Son of God. I want you to see this. And this is a question that Jesus is asking you today. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, "Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Who do folks say I am? What are you hearing out there? What are people saying? Who am I? What's the crowd saying? Now watch it. And they said, some say you're John the Baptist. Some says you're Elias. Others say you're Jeremiah. Or one of the prophets. They got all kinds of talk going on out there about you, sir. He said unto them, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, and he said, say it with me, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Now watch it. This is where I want you to listen. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. Then he said this amazing verse, which people get screwed up. But I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I don't want to be anti-Catholic today. I really don't. I just want to be all Bible. I want to do what the Bible says, what Jesus says. And I think no matter what denomination we are, we ought to want that. But let me tell you something. Peter wasn't the first pope. Okay? Peter was far beyond that, my friend. He was the preacher that preached at Pentecost and thousands got saved. But he was not the pope, and God wasn't saying upon Peter, I'm going to pop it back up. He was not saying upon Peter, I'm going to build my church. Let me tell you what the rock is this morning. Here's the rock. Here's the rock, okay? Here it is. Here's the rock. And by the way, I'm going to say something else. Don't be ugly. Here we go. Peter just missed in the garden when he went for the guy's ear. He's really wanting to cut his head off. You think that's probably true? And shortly after, he denied the Lord three times. Is that correct? Okay? Peter's a man just like we are. Does that mean he's not greatly used of God? Oh my gosh, no. Of course he's greatly used of God. He's amazing. We to pray to him? No. Peter wouldn't come in and have you kiss something. Excuse me. He knows his shortcomings. That he's not the rock, my friend. Here's the rock. Here's the rock right here. Here's the rock that the gates of hell won't prevail against. Jesus Christ. That is the rock. Are you hearing me today? Any church that gets off of that's off track. They got to be on the rock. Jesus Christ is the rock. You might think, you're crazy, man, talking about Jesus all Christmas. He's the rock, man. That is the rock. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't give you that. My Father gave you that. He says, Peter, upon this rock. And some people can argue with me if you want to. I believe Jesus is a rock till I give up my last breath. And not some man or not some something like that. Jesus is the rock. Now watch it. We're done. He's the promised Messiah. Look at it. Watch it. He's the Son of the living God. That's what Peter said. That is the rock. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the last statement this morning. If Fellowship Church believes that, the gates of hell won't prevail against this place. Do you hear me? If Fellowship Church believes that Jesus is the rock, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, this place will prosper. This place will make it. We will build a building in Rotunda, Florida. We will keep going. If we get off track and we start having some other kind of message, some mess, we're going to probably tank. Are you hearing me today? He is the rock. Did I get that point across today to you? He is the rock. If you want to be rock solid in your life, know this. Jesus, you're the Christ. You're the promised one. You're the one that was prophesied. It's all about you. You're the one that came. You're the Son of the living God. I put my faith and trust in you. I look to you. There's no other one I look to. That's it. I get in your word. That's what I believe. That's the rock. I guarantee you, if you try that right there, you're going to make it. Are you hearing me? You're going to be solid. That don't mean you have some problems. You're going to have some problems. Sure you are. But you're going to make it. You're going to look at me years from now and go, you know what, Clark? I'm making it because I'm on the rock. Amen? You with me today? Let's praise Him this morning. Come on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Rock. Jesus Christ.